Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What?
All right, well, today we're going to be talking to Chris Ridgway on small donor fundraising compared to traditional fundraising for church planting.
Wow.
Small donor fundraising.
Doesn't
sound as sexy as big donor fundraising.
Nope.
But it's super practical. So before we listen in and into this interview, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor for today. What guides your core beliefs? Are they founded upon solid truth, or are they based on others' opinions or your own emotions? What you believe about your purpose and value affects almost every area of your life. This is the premise of the new film, Overcomer, in theaters August 23. It's the latest from the Kendrick brothers, makers of Courageous, War Room, and others. This movie has inspired the creation of several resources for small groups. There's the Overcomer Bible Study for individuals. There's a book called Defined. Both are based upon powerful insights from the book of Ephesians. Learn more about all the resources at lifeway.com/overcomer. Now let's get back to the episode. All right, so we're going to listen in, like I said, to a interview that I did with Chris Ridgway. This is actually a part of
Can you
Plus
say
membership.
Chris Ridgway three times really fast?
Chris Ridgway. No, I can't do that. Thank you. So it's a snippet of the 30-minute interview that we did with him. And man, just listen in because you're going to enjoy this. So thanks for being with us, Chris.
Yeah, good to be with you, Daniel. How are you?
Fantastic. And so today we really want to talk about small donor fundraising. As you've been coaching and working in this for the last 15 years, I mean, how does that work in conjunction with traditional fundraising for planting?
Sure, right. And it depends on where you come from, what you think of traditional. The traditional fundraising, some church planting organizations, though, is definitely like, I hit a large target. This is what we do right now. We hit like, I have a large target number. I made a budget for 3 years. It's, you know, anywhere from, depends on where you're church planning, you're anywhere from like $50,000 to $1 million, you know, over 3 years, the salaries and building and things. And you go, okay, I've got to get these different funding sources. Maybe the denomination will give some, or ascending church will give some, and then maybe I'm going to raise funds. And in some ways, when we're assigning a church planter some individual support raising responsibility, this approach actually integrates in that way.
Okay.
But because this is a way to approach individuals, but another way, it's a different way of thinking about what we're trying to do, because the ongoing versus one-time gift actually isn't just a money question. It's a mission question.
Okay.
And the question is sort of, if I'm doing this sort of one-time thing, I say, hey, would you invest, you know, maybe I approach you, even if you're sort of not a denomination, you're an individual, I'll say, hey, would you give $1,000 to like get in, you know, to this amount that we're going to plant a new church in this neighborhood and reach them for the gospel. And if instead I say, would you invest on a regular basis into what we're doing, sort of even that sort of small, quote unquote, $50 a month or $100 a month ask, you're asking someone to be called a ministry partner. You know, the old Campus Crusade language is ministry partner development. Mm. You're asking to be part of the team. And they come on a regular basis. They don't just hand you a one-time thing. And so I build a team. I build a team of 50 to 100 to more people that are giving in a regular amount. And those kind of people sort of become a circle around me. They're not necessarily the people I'm reaching in the church plant, although they could be. They're not necessarily from the church, although they could be, and some of them will be. They're usually a combination of both friends, partners, all these kind of things. Yeah. But they're people that are praying. They're giving regularly. And a lot of times they're with me for a long time. I raised my own salary for a long time, Daniel, and then I've gotten to coach, you know, $3 to $5 million sort of on the small donor fundraising thing for church planters actually quite a lot more on that, but directly coaching that, and then my team's coaching much more.
Okay.
When you do this, I have donors that have been with me for 20 years, even as I moved from doing campus ministry to outreach and evangelism ministry to new church plants that we're involved with. Now I still have donors that have been giving because they've been on the team.
Okay.
For a long
okay.
time. And so it's really different in that perspective around mission. Is that
yeah.
Like
yeah. You? No, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I mean, that's a very different way to look at funding traditionally than church in typical church planning, because typical church planning, it's for a few years and eventually you're supposed to become self-sufficient, which means that members are supposed to be supporting you. So have you seen this quite a bit where planters will ongoing, like they'll keep the small donor fund, that they'll keep those ministry partners long term and not receive a salary from the church? Or how, or do they just, when the church becomes self-sufficient, they say, I don't need the ministry partners anymore? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, there's a bunch of situations where this kind of funding might actually be superior to sort of the 3 year, three self kind of thinking.
Okay.
And you know what I mean by that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Saying a church, you know, you get up to, I need my 200 tithing units and then I'm going to have the budget's going to work.
Yeah.
And so I just got to get to that, you know, and money. And I've written elsewhere, you can see where, you know, I talk about how this approach really does affect our mission, because who are we reaching out to, quote unquote, on a first Sunday or when we're reaching to our neighborhood? A lot of times we definitely want to reach church plants, best reach. We all know best reach people that are far from God.
Mm-hmm.
They're new, they're exciting. People get drawn to them better sometimes than traditional churches. At the same time, our motivation can be to draw in people that are already committed Christians that
yeah,
are going to
yeah.
get full tithe, you know, yeah. And that subtly, whether it affects the church planter. So there's a couple of different ways on how you think about this, but one, like I think some people do this kind of fundraising because it actually removes some of the money pressure in terms of the mission. If I'm going to
yeah,
do a whole way to be in a neighborhood, I'm going to hang out at the Dunkin' Donuts at the corner of 32nd and Halstead over here and just try to meet neighbors and bring them into homes to have meals and share the gospel. That could be a real slow way to go, but it could be an amazing way to go.
Yes.
Yeah. But if I have a team around me, that relieves some of that pressure of like, oh man, I've got to get to those tithing units. So
yeah,
that's
because,
almost like being sent as a missionary in your neighborhood as a church planter.
Yeah, because if you want to, and with the greenhouse being a missional, being a mission movement, part of it is if you truly want to move and do ministry through a missional incarnational way, not to say right. it's anti-attractional, but if that's the primary right. way you're wanting to plant, then to have a 3 year time frame over the top of your head is there, it's a lot of pressure. Because, you know, how are you going to feed your family versus, which is why typically, I mean, especially at new churches, we've talked a lot about bivocational or co-vocational as being the model
right.
if you're wanting to go that way. But this is different than that, right? Because this yeah. is, you're still, the benefit of this is that you can still be full-time building the church, building relationships, developing leaders without
right.
having the extra stress of the other job.
Yeah, and it really lets us be missional in a different way, removes yeah. the pressure on timelines. But also, I mean, another strength of it is it survives economic downturns up and down real well. So large donors tend to give out of wealth, and small donors tend to give out of budget. And so a large donor will give, like, you know, I'm going to give I have a large chunk of money set aside. Now, tax law has changed a little bit this year, but I might want to give, you know, 10, 20K to mission this year, but I can't do that when the stock market is down,
yes.
kind of thing. Whereas a regular donor that's a family that's just sort of living, but you approach them and say, hey, do you want to be part of this team because of what God's doing with us?
Yeah.
They might give their $100 a month, but unless they lose their job, they're probably not going to cut that cutting. And so
right.
at Reliant Mission back in 2000, you know, back in the economic downturn, you know, what was that, 07, 08, we saw a lot, massive, millions of dollars a drop in giving to churches, but we saw very few of our church planners and missionaries cut down because people were giving out of their budget.
That is fascinating. Yeah, I'm even thinking of the one-time gifts that we've given, but also we have friends that we went to college with, and Christina yeah. and I, and they're with Campus Crusade, they're with Power to Change up in Canada, which is CREW.
That's great.
Right?
That's
and
great.
And yeah, what, like the only reason we would cut our funding, our ongoing funding to them would be if they left or there was a huge vision change of the organization or there's something we disagreed with. But other than that, we've yeah. just budgeted it in. Like it's just a part
yeah.
of our expenses.
They're part of almost your family
yes.
in that way.
Oh yeah, completely. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's yeah. amazing. It's mm-hmm. really a cool, it's freeing sometimes for church planners. And I actually think the co-vocational works well on mission as well. But I think these are missional choices for us, not just financial choices.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So practically speaking, I'd love for us to get to you know, how you'd address a church planner who wants to start doing this. But practically speaking, right? Practically speaking, if a church planner is doing this to supplement their income, right? And they're also receiving a salary, or maybe it's a part-time salary from the church, right? Because we're going to have more listeners listening in who are in that side than they are in I'm starting from scratch, right? So we probably have a lot of planters and pastors listening in who are they are already church planting, or they've been doing it for a few years, but maybe the giving isn't what it needs to be, or they want to bring on a associate pastor, but they don't have the finances for that, and they want to bring on another person, but they just don't have that. How do you see this model working? Nuts and bolts, right? Nuts and bolts. How does it work in conjunction with a traditional model where offerings coming into the church and there's a weekly service and people are drawing salaries, and do people individually support raise, and is it written to them, or is everything through the church? And yeah, so give us all of that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff. That's a day-long seminar. and you ask just one-on-one answer and 301 questions, right? Because some of those are complicated. For instance, if I'm starting from scratch, I'm starting new. The American evangelical cultural mindset honestly works with this model in the sense that people understand we're launching someone into mission.
Okay.
And so they're more willing to say like, oh, I understand what you're doing. Wow, we're going to go reach the something neighborhood of Chicago. I'm in the Bridgeport neighborhood of Chicago. We just are doing a new church plant here. Our location pastor raised their own support, him and his wife, in this model. This is a blue-collar neighborhood. That's traditional Italian beef and pizza came from this neighborhood, and the old Chicago pizza. Like, this is an old school neighborhood, and there's a lot of Catholic churches around here, but very few churches that are really reaching into homes and neighborhoods, and there's a whole segment missed. And so we've got three missional communities here, and they raised their support. When we started that, it was easy for them to go to donors and say, hey, we're going to do this new congregation and reach this part of Chicago. Would you give? Well, in that sense, what does the money, nuts and bolts, the money goes to Greenhouse. Greenhouse pays the salary for the church planter. And what a lot of these mission agencies do, by the way, and we're like a mission agency, but we're doing church planting. The money comes into a fund. That fund is allocated for the church planter's salary and ministry expenses specifically, not for other costs of the church plant, like rental of a facility or anything. Those are separated into two buckets, not one bucket. That way you're not choosing between, do I feed my family or do I buy a nice sound system? So there's actually some values there as well. But the money comes into that. The paycheck goes out. If you need, you know, $4,000 a month for a very modest salary to support a church planter, if you get in $3,000 a month, the paycheck that goes out is only the $3,000, you know, every month. But if you get in $5,000 a month, you only put out the $4,000 and you save the rest for the next church plant. So that's how a lot of these situations work. If you're doing a hybrid model, so let's say the church is doing a tithe model, and, you know, the church can do, it's a very small congregation and they're doing new missional communities, they can do 2,000 a month, you know, of that stuff, but they can't do the rest. A lot of times that you want a single employer, and so I can, you know, we can talk more about the money and the policy side, I do that as well, but you want that single employer is going to be more helpful, it's going to be easier for the church planner. So that money from the church often goes to Greenhouse, and then Greenhouse, along, just like the church is one large donor, if that makes sense, the tithe is going to go up, packaged in that, and then the other small donors coming in from outside all go into that same fund, and that pays out the church planter like that.
Man, that's good. That's good. Thanks, Chris, for being with us. It's chrisridgeway.net, right?
Yeah, that's my home base. So.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks again for being with us.
Yeah, Daniel, great to be with you.
All right, so that's just a quick snippet of the 30-minute interview that I do with Chris, all on small donor fundraising.
Okay, so he had me at, this is not a money question, this is a mission question.
Mm, yeah.
Because that was so good.
Yeah. Because a lot of times we want to get after the money because we need the money. But even when it comes to economic downturns, that's why I think the small donor fundraising strategy is, as long as it, as much as it takes longer, right, there's a lot more reliability in that because you've become a part of their families.
Because you'd have guys on the other side say, well, it's easier for me to spend the time, you know, catching a big fish than catching a bunch of small fish. Like, it's easier for me to manage. It's easier for me to do.
But you can't rely on it.
Oh, yeah. Because you have a tendency to lie to yourself and you just go ahead and say, oh, this is always going to be here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's,
at the end of the year, there's always going to be a big check that comes in by a few of the business people in our congregations. And
yeah.
For tax reasons, they're going to, maybe this year is not their year.
Hey, so if you have been in ministry less than, let's say, 12 years, maybe 15 years, this is really, really, really important for you to understand. Hmm. If you weren't in ministry during 2008, you probably don't get this. Hmm. And you've heard about 2008. You've heard about the economic downturn, and you know it as a fact, a fun fact, but you didn't go through it. So there were a lot of us in churches in 2008 that had to make real, real difficult choices about staffing, about ministry, you know, about all kinds of different things. And so those years can happen. I mean, right now, we're, at least in the States, are enjoying a massive economic influx of cash that's been around for a long time. People are still giving to our churches large one-time gifts, or as a boomer and builder generation pass away, we're being given, you know, large funds. You cannot count on those things. You just can't anymore. And so I the biggest takeaway for me was, wow, I had not really thought of how important those two things were. One, not relying on those heavy donors because of economic downturn. And two, really a missional mindset. So, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So in the rest of the interview, if you're a Plus member and haven't listened to it yet, be sure to go back and do that, because, I mean, this is from our May 2019 behind the scenes interview. In the interview, he talks about the nuts and bolts around small donor fundraising and how to encourage ongoing giving and tips on how to do that. And also, it's interesting, he talks about how fundraising works differently based on ethnicity and socioeconomic class as well. So that's all there, 30 minutes for all Plus members. And if you aren't a Plus member and you maybe checked it out in the past but haven't looked at it recently, be sure to go to newchurches.com to look at that, because it's brand new. It is brand new. And now with annual membership, you actually get all of these behind the scenes videos, Q&A webinars, templates, resources, but you actually get every single course on newchurches.com as well, and an individual subscription to Ministry Grid. So that legitimately is a $3,100 value. Like, that's just not a value pulled out from air to try to make it sound more valuable. Like, you can buy all the courses separately for that amount, or with an annual membership, you can get all that as a part of it. So it's a great way to lean in, to develop yourself, to multiply, and to just learn more about planting, multi-site, multiplication. So be sure to go to newchurches.com to learn more about that. And lastly, be sure to also check out the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. That's the podcast that Todd and I do together, and it's a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family. Recently, we've interviewed leaders like Jimmy Mayotto, Dahati Lewis, Carly Fiorina. So just look up 5 Leadership Questions on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. We'll catch you next time.